1 John. I really had no clue exactly what I would preach tonight. It's kind of unusual when you try and study, you try and prepare, but you also want to be obedient and understand that you can't wrangle in the Holy Spirit. I think that's one problem we have in America, is that we have a lot of teachers or preachers who would rather study and create a sermon and then take a little dab of Holy Spirit and slap it on it, rather than be obedient and be flexible and pliable to what the Holy Spirit would have them to do or to say. And I do try, church, to be ever vigilant in my heart and be obedient. And so just quite frankly, while I was sitting there on the pew, the Lord had just began to impress on my heart. And so with the Lord's help, I want to preach from this chapter tonight. 1 John 4, verses 1 through 4. But first, I got to get some preaching juice. That's a lot of singing for me. Verse number 1, 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Can I read that again? Yes, sir. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Notice the word spirit is lowercase, it is not capitalized. We are not talking about deity here. So that leads us to believe that there are other spirits in the world. Amen. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, plural, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Notice the word spirit is capitalized. We're talking about deity here. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So that statement there in verse number 2 leads us to know that if it denies Jesus, it is not of God. If it takes away His deity, it's not of God. If they deny or say that He was one of a son or one of many sons, that is not of God. He is the only begotten of God. If it says that He didn't die, all He just did was went unconscious and His heartbeat slowed so slow that it was undetectable. If it says that before He rose again or they discredit the resurrection, that is not of God. Verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Heavenly Father, please help me tonight. Please give me the right words to say. Lord, may I help Your people. Help me to preach. Give me strength. Help my voice, Lord. And I ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. There are three spirits that I believe are part of the spirit of Antichrist. 1 John 4:3 tells us that the spirit of Antichrist, not the spirit of the Antichrist, but the spirit of Antichrist. Antichrist. Something that is Antichrist. I'm not using the term to name a person or an entity in the world. I'm using the name as saying anything that is Antichrist is of the devil. Amen? Antichrist. This is the spirit of Antichrist. And it is already in the world. And when Christians allow these spirits to rob them of fellowship, of joy, of peace, they are in effect denying that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. See, when Christians allow these harmful spirits to have power over them, they are denying Christ, the power of God, as he's called in 1 Corinthians 1:24. And then the Bible also tells us having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof in 2 Timothy 3:5. Christian, there are three spirits mentioned in the Word of God. Now, I'm not running off out of somewhere that's outside the Word of God. I'm not going to go and preach about spirits listen, that's a hot topic right now. The spirit of this or the spirit of that. And we defeat the spirit of this by that. Listen, friend, as long as Josh Agin is in Gateway Baptist Church's pulpit, we're going to preach the Bible, amen? We're not going to preach our thoughts. We're not going to preach what I want to preach. We're not going to preach the warm and fuzzies all the time. We're going to preach, thus saith the Lord, amen? And so we're going to go to the Bible to find these biblical spirits that are there, that are pervasive in the world, that are invasive in the world, and are in fact invading Christian churches right now. Been doing it since the day of John and his writings here. But here is three spirits that are mentioned in the Word of God that are just downright harmful to Christians, especially if they go unchallenged through the mirror of the Word of God. That's why reading your Bible is so important. That's why memorizing Scripture is so important. It's not so that you can check the box and say, I've read my Bible today. It's not so that you can brag to other Christians about how holy you are and how much that you've read your Bible and how far advanced you are in biblical knowledge. It's not for that, friend of mine. The reason we read the Word of God is because it is a light unto our path. It is a mirror in our walk, and it will teach us and show us what we need to know. This is something that we can trust. So let's jump right into it. And I want to preach, by the way, on three spirits that are harmful to Christians. Three spirits that are harmful to Christians. And they come right out of the Word of God. Amen. The first one is the spirit of bondage. The spirit of bondage. We talked about that a little bit this morning, but the spirit of bondage is found in Romans, or the mention of the spirit of bondage is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 15, where Paul's writing, I call it the Holy Spirit chapter of the Bible. I believe in Romans chapter number 8, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 19 different times in that one chapter alone. And it might be more than that, and I just didn't pick up on it. It was the times that I remembered having going through and counting that. But in the middle of talking about the Holy Spirit, in the middle of telling us that we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us, in the middle of telling us that all things work together for the good of them who are called, and right after telling us that there is now therefore no condemnation unto those who are in the Spirit, in the midst of that, in verse number 18, Paul says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now that word bondage means the state of being under the control of a force or influence. It's slavery. It's subjugation that I talked about this morning. Isaiah 61 and verse number 1, the Bible says this regarding our Lord and Savior, and the Lord quoted this later on in the Scriptures. Isaiah 61, 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Child of God, you were not given the spirit of bondage. You're not bound up. You've only allowed yourself to get entangled with the affairs of the world and the things and the nature of the world, the spirit of Antichrist in the world, and it has enslaved you to a point where you don't know which way's up. Friend of mine, I'm here to tell you tonight that there is freedom in Christ and in Christ alone. Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I'm glad I got a hold of some good old-fashioned liberty. Amen? That means that I have freedom to do as the Lord directs me to do. For a long time, I walked in the bondage of influence of what other people thought about me, in particular about what other preachers or other pastors thought about me. I thought a lot about it. I lost sleep over what somebody's opinion of me really was. And one day, I don't know exactly what happened, I got to praying about the Lord using me. And I got to talking to the Lord, and just a great peace came in my heart when I realized that I'm accepted by the Beloved. Ephesians chapter number 1, amen. I'm accepted by the Beloved. I don't have to be approved by the brethren to serve God. Amen. I thank God that I don't have to live in that bondage. I don't have to live in that fear. I don't have to live in that worry of what so-and-so thinks or so-and-so does. I can walk in the liberty that God gives to me. When I walk in liberty, I find myself serving the Lord in freedom. I'm glad the Lord let me preach tonight. I'm having me a good old time. John 8:36 said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Y'all heard that somewhere before today, hadn't you? Verse number 32 in John chapter number 8 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Well, if you're not careful, you'll walk back into that bondage. If you're not careful, you'll walk back into it. This spirit of bondage has caused a lot of damage for Christians. And as a Christian, you've been set free. So what are you allowing to enslave you? We have to ask ourselves that from time to time. What am I allowing that enslaves me? What gets me? Because see, I know something about you. You're flesh and blood, just like me. And I know that if I'm unable to be enslaved by something, that it's just as easy for you to become enslaved in something. If you've never trusted Christ to set you free, trust Him tonight. Because He will. A harmful spirit, the spirit of bondage. There is the spirit of the world. Now that almost seems like it's a broad stroke. And maybe it is, because the world and its iniquities are broad. They're plenteous. They're full. There are a lot of them. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. There it is. Remember, I'm taking these from the Bible. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. 1 Corinthians 5:19 says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. But the spirit of the world comes into our lives, into our homes, into our churches. It makes its way in. It finds a little crack, and then it comes in. And there are a lot of people that would blame church music and say that's how it gets in. No. It comes in with the pride of the individual that walks through the door. It doesn't slide in through the obvious things. See, the devil, he's not an obvious rascal. He's not someone that decides that he's going to blatantly do something. He's going to cause a little old slow leak in your tire. He's not going to blow out. He's going to give you a slow leak and leave you on the side of the road. Amen. This spirit of worldliness, or the spirit of the world, is a dangerous and harmful spirit to a Christian. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right, preacher, how do I renew my mind? By the washing and the regeneration of the Word of God. You want a new mind, a fresh mind to start the day? Get a hold of the Word of God. Get in the Word and watch how your mind changes. Watch how you begin to think about things differently when you start your day walking with the Lord. I'm not saying this to make you feel bad if you're not currently. I'm saying this to prod you in the direction that will help you and benefit you the most spiritually. Our church, Gateway Baptist Church, is not as strong as the man in the pulpit or the deacons that carry the business or the leadership or the Sunday school teachers. Our church is only as strong as the weakest Christian sitting in our pews. That's the strength of our church. And so, friend of mine, child of God, you must have your mind renewed every single day. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians 15 that he sins and dies daily. Does that mean that Paul physically died every single day? No, it does not. It means that he died to the spirit of bondage. He died to the spirit of the world. He died to the ungodliness. In Romans chapter number 7, he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, that I would do, I do not. And that I would not do, that very thing I do. The things I don't want to do, those are the things I'm participating in." He called himself a wretched man. The Apostle Paul. He died to himself daily, spiritually, to where he could walk with a restored and a renewed and a refreshed mind each and every day so that he could prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Carnal Christians cause more trouble for the cause of Christ than any atheist has ever dreamed about causing trouble for the church. People don't get on there and report how that you don't find reports about an atheist failing. You don't find reports about someone who is an outright adamant disbeliever and hater of God. You don't hear reports about them failing and falling off into iniquity. But you let a preacher fall. You let a Sunday school teacher fall. You let a deacon fall. Hey, friend of mine, listen, the world looks for that stuff to happen. And it happens because we do not renew our mind, and therefore we can't prove what's good and what is acceptable and what is the perfect will of God. This spirit of the world will cause us to think that we're okay when we're participating in our sin. If the world, John 15 verses 18 and 19, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. If there's not any being out of place when you're around lost folk, something's wrong. If we laugh and joke and cut up and hey, I get under conviction about this. Me and Brother David was talking just before service. There are things in my life just like there's things in your life. I get under conviction. The other night I was watching a show. No good and well, I didn't need to be watching this TV show. Y'all okay? You don't mind your preacher being honest, do you? Watching this TV show and it come to a scene where there's a whole lot of cussing and a whole lot of stuff going on. And it was as if the Holy Spirit of God spoke in my mind and said, "You know this don't glorify me." I that night, praise God, I was able to cut it off. But I'm ashamed to tell you that there's been times when I didn't. And I let the spirit of the world penetrate my mind and cause things in my mind, ungodly thoughts, unholiness, wicked act. You okay? See, I know I'm not alone in this. It's the spirit of the world, and all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So says John to us here. The spirit of the world is a harmful spirit to Christians.
John 17:14, the Lord Jesus Christ. We often look, I was thinking about this when I was listening to the book of John the other day, getting ready to preach from the book of John. And I got to John chapter number 17, and is often called the Lord's Prayer, the give us this day our daily bread. And really, that's not the Lord's Prayer. That's the Lord teaching us to pray. If you want to read the Lord's Prayer, go to John chapter 17. That's where Jesus prays for all of His people, including you and I. Listen to what He says in verse number 14 of John chapter 17. I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. This world hates Jehovah God. This world hates the Lord Jesus. This world hates Christians. But God loves this wicked world. So much so that in John 3:16 He said these words to Nicodemus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Peter echoed that in 2 Peter 3:9. He said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all, A-L-L, all should come to repentance. The wonderful thing about a Christian getting caught up in the spirit of the world is that we can come to the Lord in repentance. Thank God for repentance, and thank God for the favor of the Lord Jesus Christ to you and I. This harmful spirit, the spirit of the world, the spirit of bondage, and one last one, the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 7 said, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Some folks are afraid today and they don't even know why they're afraid. Fear, the word fear, means an unpleasant, often strong emotion that's caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. A lot of times if we don't have anything to be fearful of, we'll create something to be fearful of. Amen. Fear has awakened me in the middle of the night. Fear has caused me to run when I should have stood my ground. Fear has crippled me in an instant and caused me to act extremely irrational. Fear will drain the joy out of your life. Fear will dash your hope into pieces, but fear is a liar. Fear doesn't know the future. Did you hear what I said? Fear doesn't know the future. No more than you do. Fear doesn't know what's coming. Fear can't see into the unknown. But it'll sure whisper in your ear that there's too much uncertainty to go on. Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? What things, preacher? The fear that permeates my heart. The fear that has awakened me in the middle of the night. The fear that's caused me to run when I should have stood my ground. The fear that's crippled me in an instant and caused me to act goofy. Fear that has drained the joy out of my life. Fear that's dashed my hope into pieces. What shall I say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Psalm 27 and verse number 1 said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 23 verse number 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2. God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. Psalm 56 and verse number 4. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Psalm 118 and verse number 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Proverbs 3 and verse number 25. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Isaiah 35 and verse number 4. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Isaiah 41 and verse number 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41 and verse number 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. I'm going to have to slow down, or I'm liable to lose everything. Amen. Daniel chapter number 10 and verse number 19. And said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. I thank God that the Lord strengthened me time and time again when fear tried to overtake me. Joel 2, verse number 21. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Matthew 10 and verse number 31. Fear ye not, therefore, ye have more value than many sparrows. Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. I love the Bible, don't you? Amen. Luke chapter number 12, verse number 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hebrews 13, 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I just gave you 16 Bible verses that teach us not to fear. It's the spirit of fear that harms you today. Faith is the opposite of fear. Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. God has given you something that is opposite of these harmful spirits. Amen. He has given you the Holy Spirit. Amen. 1 John 3 verses 23 and 24 says, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him, and hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Notice that word Spirit is capitalized. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 4. Verses 5 and 6 says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now the reason I use that one to end up with is because that word Abba in the Greek, in the Hebrew, it's an endearing word. It's akin to saying, instead of just saying, Father, now I don't know about you, maybe you did this in your house. I did not. But with my dad, I called him Daddy. Actually, now that I'm a little bit older, I call him Pop. And I have for several years, and I don't really know why. I just kind of stuck. I just started calling him Pop one day, and I did. But it's an endearing term from me to him. But when I was little, I'd call him Daddy. I never did say, Father. And maybe you do. You know, if you're proper, thank God for you. I'm glad for you. But for me, to my dad, it was Daddy. Amen. And I would say, when I wanted something, matter of fact, when I couldn't really say Daddy, I'd say Daddy. And I put a little bit Daddy, and even thought it was spelled D-I-D-D-Y, Daddy. And when I really wanted to get Southern, I'd say Daddy. Daddy. We got some videotapes of me talking to my dad. I say, Daddy, Daddy. And I would call him Daddy. You know why? Because that endears me to him. That's a similar term, this word, Abba. It's not just saying Father. It's saying Daddy. It denotes an intimate relationship, a close walk between you and the Spirit of God. Abba, Daddy, Diddy, I need to talk to you. And He's given you that Spirit inside of you. And that Spirit is greater than the spirit of bondage, the spirit of the world, and the spirit of fear. These harmful spirits flee when you let what's inside of you have control over you. For greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Father, in Jesus' holy name, Lord, You've heard the message that You allow me to preach. And You know, Lord, what I needed tonight and what Your people needed. And so, Father, I pray that as we move into this part of service where these altars are open, God, that You would use Your word tonight to sit in the hearts of Your people, and You would help them. They would use these altars or where they're at right now, Lord, they would use it, or maybe they're watching online. God, whatever the case may be, I pray, God, that You would help them right where they are, knowing and believing, Lord, that You're able to reach way down for us and to pick us up and to set our feet on a solid rock and to establish our goings. God, would You move in this church, in this community. Help those, whatever way, whatever avenue they're watching, Lord, help. Help. In Jesus' name. Would You stand with us while we sing?
Page 410.